Here's what happened this morning with Stacey and Clayton.
I think we need to come together as a world, Stacey. We need to have a world summit and figure out international rules for spot saving. We just need a set of international rules that every single country follows when it comes to spot saving. Case in point, after work yesterday, I saw someone standing in a parking spot downtown Saskatoon.
No, you didn't.
Saving it for, I think it was their husband, boyfriend, I don't know. It was a lady standing in the parking spot, and the guy was doing laps.
Like looking for a spot. And
she found a spot while she was walking and then calls him. Like, she's on the phone. Hey, got a spot. I'm on 22nd and 3rd or wherever it was. And he comes around, parks in the spot.
I don't know how I feel about that.
There are certain situations where saving a spot, totally okay. If you're in a lounge, one of those, like, seat yourself kind of places, and you need a table for seven or something like that, and you're the first one there, you can save a table of seven, right? Hey, guys, sorry. You know, lean the chairs over, something like that.
Well, and the server would probably help you.
Exactly. Put some menus down at the bar top, too. You had a good little point there. Lean the chairs, right?
Yeah, if you lean your chair forward, it's kind of like, this is mine. I'm someone that's sitting here.
At a movie theater, maybe you can save like three or four spots, right? Like on a busy night, it's like, hey, guys, no, these three, I got my friends are getting the popcorn, right? Like,
yeah, movies are okay.
Maybe not the whole row. Like, that's
no
one of the
way,
rules. There should be different rules at the Spot Save Summit, by the
and
way.
And you should also put your coat in the chair instead of just reaching over and being like, no, these, one, two,
exactly.
three, these four seats are taken.
Yeah, and it sucks for the person who has to save the spots, too, because it's like their jacket's on one and their mitts are on another one.
Purse
their toque
on
is on another one. Their purse is on the other one. They're taking off their shoes, put it on there. But, like, see, in those situations, it's okay. Spot saving, whatever. But when it comes to vehicle spot saving, no.
What if she put her coat on the ground?
Oh, well then totally okay.
Does that make it
totally
okay?
Totally okay.
And now it's time for another edition of That One Friend.
We all have that one friend who is crazy good at getting deals on everything. It doesn't matter what it is, they got a deal on it.
Round trip flight to Iceland for two. $320. Like, how?
Brand new hot tub, 50% off, free installation and delivery, all because this guy owed them one.
Lakefront cabin at Emma, four bedrooms, $60,000, because they used their points. Like, what the points? Cabin points? Are those even a thing?
But that's the thing about this friend. They have unlimited points, unlimited favors, unlimited connections. And when those fail, the horseshoe up their ass kicks in.
They always seem to score those, this fell off the truck, so it's super cheap, but it's also totally fine kind of deals.
When you go to the discount bargain section at the back of a store, all you find is cat food and scratched coffee tables. This friend, they come out of those places with an absolute steal, like a 70-inch flat-screen TV for $90. How?
You know those stories of people buying something random at a garage sale for like $10, and then it turns out it's worth $100,000? That would happen to this friend. Deals just fall in their lap.
The deal hunter. We all have that one friend.
I play the odd video game here and there, but
what?
When it comes to video games, I only like sports games. So Madden, Chell, I still play College Football 2014 for the PlayStation 3, one of the best video games ever. That's why this story we're about to talk about next, it's a kick in the groin for me. Apparently back in the day, Adam Sandler pitched a Happy Gilmore video game for Xbox. Now, this was back in, like, the early 2000s.
Okay.
Adam Sandler wanted to make a hybrid golf and fighting game. So it would be like if Mortal Kombat and Tiger Woods Golf made love and had a baby, it would be the Happy Gilmore video game. So, like, you would play a round of golf like you would on Tiger Woods or Mario Golf, whatever. And apparently, after the round, you get in a kerfuffle at the at the old pro shop or something, and then you fight. And like,
that's
you can
a neat combo.
There would be like a story mode and stuff. Again, there weren't too many details released, but apparently it just didn't happen.
I wonder why.
What could have been, right?
Because like, that sounds like a fun combo. Fighting.
Imagine,
I liked playing Mortal Kombat when I was younger.
Again, the fighting aspect, it's always fun when you're playing video games. Just button mash until you figure it out. Golf video games too. Again, I know golf's kind of boring. I love golf, but I could admit it's boring. Golf video games are fun.
But mix it with fighting, why not?
And Happy Gilmore as well. Like that humor aspect of it. The final boss is Bob Barker at Red Lobster.
I was going to say, if you could also like choose to be Bob Barker as a player, that'd be great.
You think the final boss is Bob Barker? Then Shooter McGavin in the Volkswagen comes driving by. No one's really excited for the Olympics this year. Sometimes I take a week off just to sloth and watch the Olympics. Like, if they're across the world when they're on, like, all morning long, that's what I love the Olympics, right? Like, you take some days off, you hang out on your couch, you watch the Olympics. This year, I'm just not excited for it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's unfortunately horrible timing, even though the Olympics are always every 4 years, right?
Well, every two, technically, winter, summer.
Right.
Winter, summer.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, they didn't really have a choice with the timing of COVID. It kind of is not a great situation.
Like, usually, I have Olympic fever. I start researching 2 weeks before the games, who's in what. Because, like, I just love the obscure sports. How everyone gets so obsessed with these sports that never gets any attention before. And yet, all of a sudden, you're an expert, like luge. Like the luge in the Winter Olympics. Everyone's a luge expert for like 2 weeks.
Or the, what's that? Is it the decathlon? Where you do like three or four different things all together? Running, swimming?
Decathlon's more than that. I think decathlon's 10.
10, yeah. Yes, that makes sense. Yeah. Triathlon.
There you go. That's three.
The shooting, the running, the skiing.
The shooting is the hardest
Listen
part.
Listen to us. Just amazing knowledge sources.
Great analysis here. Why do you need TSN when he got us right here, right? But like the shooting one, how they have to like exhale and hold it. And
well,
it's so
they've just
far away.
Basically ran a small marathon and then you need to lay down and shoot a bullseye.
Like controlling your heart rate after doing that. And most people are like, well, I'm a pretty good shot. I could do that. No, you
couldn't.
Yeah,
right.
No, you couldn't. Like, that's the best thing about these obscure sports. Like, with hockey and football and baseball, people grow up playing those sports. They can give their 2 cents. Not a lot of people grow up doing the pole vault, though. And yet, they still think they could be the armchair quarterback. Oh, they didn't arch their back enough there in the middle. Oh, really, Tom? Really?
First one's from Christopher. Boney M. Rasputin. Great song. Christopher hears rah, rah, rice poutine, lover of the Russian queen.
Yum.
I would go for a rice poutine.
Come on.
Rice gravy and cheese?
No. No. No.
Or a normal poutine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Let's just face it. The actual lyrics, rah-rah Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen.
We all have that one friend who just thinks they're healthy by always substituting rice, hey? Oh, it's fine, guys. I'm having poutine, but with rice.
It's good for you.
It's totally healthy and a Diet Coke. Next one is from Brent.
Sorry, breaking news. Jeff Bezos is blasting off into space right now.
Oh, yeah. Good for him.
Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, not selfish at all, Jeff Bezos.
Nope.
Not selfish at all. Falco, Rock Me Amadeus, Brent sent this one in. This is a classic. hot potatoes, hot potatoes, hot potatoes, hot potatoes, over and over again. But Brent hears this one at the end. Ooh, broccoli, hot potatoes. Now, if you're a little thrown off there, you're like, why is that girl in there? There are two versions of that song.
Oh.
There's a Canadian version, and there is the extended American version where the broccoli girl comes in there, like the one at the end there.
Wow.
So the American version had this lady singing in their version, and we got robbed of that. We got robbed of the broccoli girl in Canada.
Of the deep cut.
Classic. The actual lyrics, Amadeus, Amadeus, rock me, Amadeus.
I love
it's a good
it.
One. It's a good one.
Okay, the last one. Ange sent this one in. Shout out to Ange because this is one of my favorite songs ever. Extreme, More Than Words. Ange hears, it would be to show me how you feel more than worms.
It would be to show me how you feel
what? I don't even care that it sounds like Worms. Yeah. I still love that song.
The simple ones are the best, hey?
So good. Clearly, much like the title, the actual lyrics, more than words.
It would be to show me how you feel, more than words.
Got some garden drama happening at the old Cooper household.
There's always garden drama.
Not impressed. There really is. Gardens are never just like cut and dry, plant your seeds, reap the harvest.
Has anyone ever said this sentence before? Oh, my garden this year? Yeah, went off without a hitch.
Never.
Never. There's always some kind of issue, mm-hmm. a bug issue, a fertilizer issue, too hot, too cold, frost. Oh, my.
In this case, it's a daughter issue.
Oh.
Fiona. Okay. Bless her heart. We're playing outside in the backyard, and for a couple of days now, my tomatoes are starting to turn red, which is, like, exciting because mm-hmm. it's, again, the fruits of your labor. You're able to eat what you've grown. And the little turkey is picking off these tomatoes like the minute they turn the slightest bit of red, and you're supposed to obviously let them ripen on the vine mm-hmm. and she's picking them off and she's so proud of herself, and then she comes running over, she's like, mom, and she gets me to pick off the little green part and she's happy as a clam.
Yeah.
Except now she's starting to pick off like just green ones that have not even had a chance to ripen and wants to eat them, and then she pops it in her mouth and realizes it tastes like garbage and it spits it out
and gets mad at you for it too. Hey, why'd you let me eat that, mommy?
It's just, and then the other tomato plant that's been struggling a little bit, it finally had one solitary tomato that was green, and she picked it off.
Is she doing it with anything else in the garden? Like,
no, it's just the tomato, because we only really have, mind you, no, we've got peppers. There are some giant peppers that are doing fairly decent. She hasn't touched those. But also, too, in addition to my daughter, the birds. We have two little tiny raspberry bushes that mm-hmm. we have transplanted from Sean's parents' yard that they moved from, so they've got some sentimental value. The freaking birds are eating my raspberries.
Family show, okay?
Sorry.
Family show. Watch your language, please. Thank you very much.
And I have to fashion some kind of sticks with aluminum pie plates attached to them to scare them off or mm-hmm. something.
I know. I just feel so sorry for you. I mean, your daughter is voluntarily eating vegetables all on her own. That must just be a huge problem.
She loves vegetables.
What a huge issue in the Cooper household
right
now.
I might have to put a cage around the tomato plants.
Wow, your daughter is hogging all the tomatoes. Oh no!
It's a big deal.
The family drama. You need your own reality TV show, I swear.
Stacey and Clayton, weekday mornings 6 to 10 on Cruise.